Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, I am excited today as we continue on in our series entitled His Promise, My Part. His Promise, My Part. And we've kind of called this a vision series, but even more specifically, we are calling this an envision series, because the purpose of these weeks that we are spending together is to allow you to envision what your life could look like, to envision what your family could look like, to envision what your future could look like. And we've been doing that through the parallel of two stories in the Bible. There's an Old Testament story, the story of Joshua. And the story of Joshua is how God brought His people into a promised land. There was a land called Canaan. It was a fruitful land, a fertile land, a good land. And God said, this is the land that I want for my people. And Joshua, you're going to take my people into this promised land. So we've been looking at the story of Joshua, but then also there's this story of Jesus. The story of Jesus not leading us into a promised land, but the story of Jesus leading us into a promised life. Because this is what Jesus told us was possible. In John chapter 10, verse 10, He said, I came so that everyone would have life. Say life.
Life.
Say everyone.
Everyone.
And that they might have it in its fullest. He said, this is the purpose. This is the reason why I came. I came so that you would have this life, this abundant life. And He makes it available to everyone. Everyone who would choose to put their faith, hope, and trust in Him as Savior and as Lord, they become eligible for this abundant life. And we've been looking at this scripture throughout our entire series, found in 2 Peter chapter 1. And the person who wrote this was Simon Peter. He was a disciple of Jesus, one of the closest three to Jesus. And this is what he writes. He says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Say everything.
Everything.
So let's remember, Jesus has made it available for everyone, and He has given you everything. Everything you need for living the life that God created you to live, God has provided. And how did we receive this? We received this simply by coming to know Him. That's how we received it. The one who called us to Himself by His means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. If you are thankful for the promises, say amen.
Amen.
Come on, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in His divine nature. These are the promises that allow you to overcome. These are the promises that give you strength. These are the promises that give you supernatural joy and supernatural peace. These are the promises that allow you to share in the divine nature of God. But not only do you get to share in the divine nature of God, the scripture says, you also get to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So by these promises, you get to live the life that God created you to live, and you get to overcome the temptations and the corruptions that exist within the world. So he says this in verse 5, in view of all of this, in view of these great and precious promises, in view of the fact that God has given you everything you need to live the life He created you for, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. So what he's saying here is he's saying, hey, with God's promises in clear sight, with God's promises in your view, with God's promises as a part of your life perspective, now what we should do is respond with effort. We should respond with effort. And that first step of effort, as we've talked for the last several weeks, has to do with our attitude. It has to do with our attitude. Now, if you've missed any of those weeks, I want to give you just a quick definition for the word attitude. And our attitude is our settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. That is your attitude. It is a way that you have settled into thinking and feeling about someone. It could be about God, your spouse, your boss, yourself. There's a settled way that you have come to think and feel not just about someone, but also about something. There's a way that you feel about your past, your present, and your future. There's a way that you feel about your worst day and your best day. There is a way that you feel about your mistakes and about your opportunities. There is a way that you think and feel about these things. And these things are what make up our attitude. And so as we launch into this today, I want to launch with this thought that the proper attitude is like our passport into God's promises. Our attitude is like our passport into God's promises. How many of you have ever been to another country? You've ever been to another country? Come on, raise your hand if you've ever been to another country, okay? The thing that gives you access into that country is a thing called your passport. And when you have your passport, you can get access into that country. Now, whenever you show up, let's say that you're going to go to France. You're going to Paris, right? And you fly over to Paris. Now, listen, when you show up there in Paris, France, at the airport, and you are there at the immigration table, they don't care if you have plans once you get into Paris. They don't care if you got your Fedora's tour guide, top 10 places and restaurants to visit in historic site. They don't care if you know you got reservations for the Eiffel Tower, or you know what restaurant you want to sit in on the Champs-Élysées. They don't care about anything. They care about one thing. Do you have the credentials, the passport to step into their country? You might not have any access. They don't care. You might have just decided, you know what would be fun? Let's go to Paris. Let's just buy the ticket. Let's go. You haven't done any research. You said Eiffel what? Champs-Élysées who? I mean, you know, you don't know anything about it. But you show up with a passport and they let you in. And it's your passport that gives you access to the country. Well, can I tell you that your attitude is the passport into the promises of God? It's not the action step. We want the action step. But the thing that gives you access is your attitude. So if you don't have it, you can't access it. God's given you great and precious promises. That's what the scripture says. They are there. They exist. But you can't access the promises if you don't have the proper attitude. And so we really started this whole thing with this motto, this mantra, right, that says, I can, I will, I must, right? I can do it. I will do it. I must do it, right? There's this attitude that allows us to move into everything that God has for us. I love this quote from William James. He's the father of American psychology, and he says, a winner's attitude, it may be difficult, but it's possible. A loser's attitude, it may be possible, but it's too difficult. A winner says, it may be difficult, but that's okay, it's possible. A loser says, well, it may be possible, but it's too difficult. And you could add two words to that. It's too difficult for me. It's too difficult for me. So if it is our attitude that gives us access into God's promises, then we have to say, okay, well, what creates our attitude? I mean, this is vitally important. Attitude is my access into the promises of God, into the life that he created me for, into my purpose and into my destiny. It's my attitude that is my access. Okay, then what creates the attitude? And we looked at this briefly last week, and we just said that it is our deeply held beliefs. Our deeply held beliefs are what gives us access. And we actually looked at this transformation process and the destruction process. We're going to throw it up on the screen real quick, because if you ever wonder, how do we build a life, right? We build a life. Everything that we are building starts with what we're believing. Okay, so before we get into our thinking, before we get into our attitude, it all starts with our believing. What do you believe about God? What do you believe about his promises? What do you believe about what's possible? Everything in your life, the life that you are building, starts with what you are believing. So before you get to your thinking and you get to your feeling and you get to your attitude, everything begins with what we believe. William James also said this. He said, there is nothing so absurd that it cannot be believed as truth if repeated often enough. Just think about that for a moment. He said, there's nothing so absurd, there's nothing so ridiculous, there is nothing so crazy that it cannot be believed as truth if it's repeated often enough. So God writes in his word and he says, you are more than a conqueror. But the enemy shows up every day and says, you are an incompetent loser. God writes in his word and says, you are my child. But the enemy shows up every day and says, nobody would ever want someone like you. God writes in his word and says that you can do all things. But the enemy shows up and says, you can't do anything. And what does this show us? This shows us what we said last week, that God and the devil are after the same thing. They are after your belief. They are after your faith. Because you building the life that God wants, are you not building the life that God desires for you to have? It all starts with what you are believing. So God and the enemy are attacking and they're after the same thing. And God says you are this, and the enemy comes and says you are that. And what they are fighting for is to get you to believe them. Because it depends, because that sets the direction and the course of our life. And it's important that we know. In John chapter 10, right before, okay, Jesus says, that's the scripture we've been reading every week, right? When Jesus says, hey, this is what I came for. I came so everyone would have life, that you would have it to the fullest. Right before that, the first part of John chapter 10, verse 10, this is what Jesus says. He says, the thief, speaking of the devil, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, you need to know the thief, the enemy of your soul, the devil, he is coming to steal, he is coming to kill, and he is coming to destroy. But I came so that you might have life, that you might have it to the full in abundance until it overflows. And so we take a look at this and we say, okay, well, what is the enemy coming to steal? The enemy, the thief, is coming to steal your faith. He's coming to steal your faith. He's coming to steal the deep belief you have about God and what's possible. That's what he's coming. He's coming to take that from you. He wants to take that belief you have. He wants to take that faith that you have about God and about what is possible. But not only that, the enemy wants to start there. He wants to steal your faith. But why does he want to steal your faith? He wants to steal your faith so that he can kill your attitude. He wants to kill your attitude. What is your attitude? Your attitude is the way that you think and feel about God and what's possible. So your faith is what you believe about God and what's possible, but your attitude is what you think and feel about God and what's possible. And he wants to kill that. But not only does he want to kill your attitude, guess what? He wants to kill your identity. He wants to kill your identity. What is your identity? Your identity is how you think and feel about yourself. So he is coming to steal your faith, what you believe. He's coming to mess with your beliefs. So he can do what? Begin to kill your attitude. So that he can do what? Begin to kill your identity, the way you think and feel about yourself. So that he can ultimately do what? Destroy your life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to walk through this process of stealing faith, your beliefs. He wants to kill your attitude, the way that you think and feel about God and what's possible. He wants to kill your identity, the way that you feel and think about yourself and what is possible in your life. And then he wants to destroy your life so that you will begin to live out the enemy's lies. But let me tell you, if the enemy can't take your faith, he can't take your future. If the enemy can't take your faith, he can't take your future. And you can see on the screen what the enemy is trying to do. He is trying to steal, kill, and destroy by doing what? Convince you that you have failed. He's trying to do this because he wants you to think that you have failed. This is why. And so the enemy is coming to steal your faith. Now watch this. Watch this. If you take the F out, if you take the faith out, guess what? You got ale. So the enemy, he can ale you. All right, he can put sorrow on you. He can do some certain things and put you in some difficult situations. But guess what? The enemy cannot cause you to fail because the enemy cannot take your future because God holds your future in his hand. And if the enemy can't destroy your life, the enemy cannot destroy your life if he doesn't have your faith. Listen, because if you still have the ability to believe, regardless of what has happened, regardless of where you find yourself in life, if you still have the ability to believe that God can make a way, if you still have the ability to believe that God is a healer and a restorer of all things, if you still have the ability to believe that God can bring beauty out of ashes, if you still have the ability to believe that he is still the one who moves mountains, if you still have the ability to believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, if you still have the ability to believe that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is against you, if you still have the ability to believe that the one who started the work in you will complete it, if you still have the ability to believe that the best is yet to come, even despite odds that are stacked against you, if you still have the ability to believe, if you still have your faith, your deeply held belief about God's promises and your possibility to possess them, then you might fall down, but the enemy cannot keep you down. Because you have this ability to believe. And make no mistake about it. That's what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to keep you down. Devil's plan A was to keep Jesus down in the grave. It didn't work. His plan B is to keep you down in life by stealing your faith, by stealing your ability to believe. Because if he takes your ability to believe in the promises of God, if he takes your ability to believe for what God says is possible, if he takes your faith, if he can take your belief, then he can keep you down in life. But this is what scripture says in Proverbs chapter 24. It says, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. The godly, the person who is trying to do life God's way. When you read godly, don't read perfect, because if you read perfect, then the person wouldn't trip, right? So whenever we see godly, we see perfect. You're like, oh, if the perfect person trips seven. No, if you were perfect, you wouldn't trip. Godly just means I'm trying my best to do it God's way. I'm trying to live righteously. I'm trying to live rightly. I'm trying to live God's way. And it says that the godly may trip seven times, but guess what? They will get up again. They will get up again. I love what Albert Einstein says. He says, you never fail until you stop trying. You never fail until you stop trying. You might make mistakes. You might trip and fall. You might find yourself in some really difficult situations. But if you are willing to believe, and if you are willing to get up again, if you are willing to try again, then you can't fail. Just ask Abraham. Just ask Sarah. Just ask Jacob and Joseph. Just ask Moses and Ruth and Gideon and David, because these people are talked about as the heroes of faith. And you say, why are they the heroes of the faith? They are the heroes of the faith because they kept their faith after they fell. We want to just think in our head that they're the heroes of the faith because they were perfect. They were the heroes of the faith because they didn't make any mistakes. And then we know all of our mistakes, and we know all of our screw-ups and all of our mess-ups and all the things that we promised ourselves we would never do, and we did it anyway, and we know all of those things. And so we feel like, well, surely I have disqualified myself. But when you look at the heroes of the faith, every single one of them have fallen. Well, just ask Joshua, the one that we've been talking about for the last several weeks. Because there Joshua was, after the miraculous victory of Jericho, experiencing this miserable defeat at Ai. But yet he's choosing to get up and believe. They have just been defeated by an army that they should not have been defeated by. They just lost a battle that they should have never lost. They are in a situation that he never dreamed that they would be in. But yet Joshua, in the moment after defeat at Ai, decides we will get up again and believe the promises of God. Which takes us to a great Babe Ruth quote that says, you just can't beat the person who never gives up. You just cannot beat the person who never gives up. The story of these heroes and the story of Joshua show us falling is not failing unless you refuse to get up again. Falling is not failing unless you refuse to get up again. You might fall in life, but that doesn't mean you have to fail in life. But here is what the enemy attempts to do. The enemy attempts to get you to believe that your falling is failing. That you don't qualify for the godly person who trips seven times because that they just fell, but you failed. they tripped, but you didn't just trip. You messed it all up. The enemy tries to convince you that falling is actually failing. Now, I want us to take a word. Let's just take a moment. And let's just look at the word failure. Okay, let's just look at that word for a moment. And when that word goes up there, the word that we tend to focus on, right, and failure is fail, right? That's where our attention goes. Failure, you fail. But I want to point out another word to you that exists within the word, and that is lure. And what you need to know is this is what the enemy is trying to do. The enemy is trying to lure you into focusing on how you failed. The enemy is trying to lure you into getting your eyes on your mistakes. He's trying to pull you in, and he's trying to lure you in to get your attention on how you blew it. He's trying to lure you in so he can get your eyes off of the promises of God and take your eyes off of what is possible in God. And he wants your eyes and your attention on your faults. He wants your eyes and attention on your excuses. And he's trying to lure you into this lifestyle. But here's what I want you to know. He's not just luring you in to get you to believe that you have failed, right? Therefore, and the way that we see failure is that failure is fatal and failure is final and failure means it's over. That's how we see failure. And so the enemy is trying to lure you into this way of thinking, that he's trying to pull you in. He's trying to lure you along this way to think that it is over for you. The promises of God do not exist for you. You have disqualified yourself. No, it is over. He's trying to lure you into this way of thinking. But let me tell you what. The reason he's trying to get you to believe that is because he wants to get into your identity. And you'll see that right there in the word. This is what the enemy is really after. He wants you to believe that you are a failure. That's what he wants to get you to believe. So he lures you in to focus on your mistake. He lures you in to focus on how you blew it. He lures you in and gets your attention on that. Why? Because he's after your identity. He is after the way that you really see yourself and think about yourself and feel about yourself. He is after your identity. And the enemy wants you to believe that not only did you fail, but you are a failure. Not only did you make a mistake, but you are a mistake. The enemy is trying to get you into the identity that this is what you believe that you are. I am a failure. The thief is luring you in to get you to believe that this is who you are, but even more than that, this is who you'll always be. This is who you are today. This is who you'll be tomorrow. This is who you'll be next week. Man, isn't it so great that Pastor Philip can get up there and talk about the promises of God and overflow and joy and peace, and you'll never experience any of it. Why? Because you're this. You are a failure. And failures don't get access to the promises of God. Failures don't get access to what God said was possible. You have to qualify for stuff like that. And you, no, you, come on, you know you don't deserve that. You know you're not good enough for what he's talking about. But yet the scripture says this, everyone gets access to everything because they've come to the knowledge of God. Not because you graduated from seminary, not because you've memorized 100 verses in the Bible. No, just because you came to know him, you have access into the promises of God. But the enemy comes to do what? To convince you that you are something else, that you are a failure. Because the enemy knows, listen to me. The enemy knows if he can get your eyes off of the promises, then you will not possess them. If he can get your eyes off of the promises, you will not possess them. So the enemy lures you away from the promise, all the while causing you to believe what? That you don't have what it takes. Friends, the enemy is not trying to keep you out of heaven. There's nothing he can do about that. When you have put your faith, hope, and trust in God, eternity is yours. You know what the enemy's actively trying to do? Not trying to keep you out of heaven. He's trying to keep heaven out of you. Because he knows what happens when people get full of heaven. Is when people get full of heaven, heaven gets released into the earth. And so what the enemy is attempting to do is to get all of your attention on your failure so that he can create the identity that you are a failure. And you know that no failure is going to be filled with heaven. It's what the enemy is attempting to do. And so we don't live the promised life. Listen, not because God didn't promise it, but because we don't do our part to possess it. Think about what the children of God, think about what Israel had to do. Israel had to cross the Jordan. This is what we've talked about the last few weeks. They had to cross the Jordan River. They had to march around Jericho for 7 days. They had to do all of these different things. They had to get up after defeat and go back and fight Ai again. They had to do all of this stuff. They had to do their part in order to possess the promise that God had made. But now I want you to take a quick glimpse today. What does it look like when you do your part? What does it look like when the children of Israel, when God, what does it look like when they did their part? Look at what it says. Joshua 21. It says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors. This is at the end of the story. And they took possession of it and settled there. I mean, we just skipped like dozens of battles and years, okay? I mean, like we just leap forward, right? And they took possession of it and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises of the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. That's what it looks like when you do your part to the promises of God. God promised it, they possessed it. He made a promise, they did their part. And Peter writes to us, and he says this, right there, we've been reading this entire series, and he says, in view of all this, make every effort. Make every effort to respond to the promises of God. In view of all this, he's telling us, keep your eyes on the promise, because if you don't keep your eyes on the promise, then you are not going to create the vision that God has for your future. And if you don't create the vision that God has for your future, then you're not going to be able to see what is possible for you and your family. You're not going to be able to see what God wants to do in you and what God wants to do through you. And so he says, hey, be sure you do this. Keep your eyes on the promises and then do your part to live into those promises. Because if you don't make every effort, guess what you'll find yourself doing? Making every excuse. If you don't make the effort to walk into it, you start making every excuse why you can't. You start making every excuse of why that promise is not for you. You start making every excuse about why what you did 10 years ago is still keeping you from what God has for you. You start making every excuse about why your current situation and circumstance is preventing you from moving into the fullness of everything that God told you that he had for you in the first place. And you start making every excuse. So Peter says, hey, I know this to be true. If you don't make every effort, you will start making every excuse. And I don't want you to make every excuse. So I want you to make the effort so that you will move into what God created you for. So he says, you need to know God's given you everything you need. This is not just you somehow finding some willpower and muscling your way into it. He says, no, God has already given you everything you need for living this godly life. What you have to do is learn how to tap into the super that's on the inside of you so that the supernatural power of God can begin to thrust you forward into everything that God created you for. Which then takes us to this question. Will you do your part now and in 2022 so you can possess what God has promised you? Will you do everything you can? Will you make every effort? Will you make every effort right now? Will you make every effort in 2022 to possess the life that God said was possible? Will you make every effort? To step into the abundant life that God said you could have? The scripture is so clear. The abundant life doesn't exist for the pastors and the missionaries. The abundant life exists for the children of God. Peter said, these are great and precious promises. They are great and precious because they don't make sense because we don't deserve them. They are great and precious because you cannot earn them. They are great and they are precious because God said you could just have them. Jesus says it's available for everyone. Peter writes and he says, God's given you everything you need to step into these great and precious promises. He said, so do me a favor. Peter writing said, do me a favor. Make every effort to step into these promises. Do everything that you can to move into the life that God created you to live. You know, when you think about the story of Joshua, these people that had come out of the slavery of Egypt spent 40 years in this wilderness wandering experience, now move into this fruitful and fertile land. They moved into this place of abundance. But I want you to see something. They didn't just possess it for themselves. They possessed it for each other. They didn't just possess it for themselves. They possessed it for their children and their children's children. Did they get to personally reap the benefits of the amazing fruit of the land? Absolutely, but it was not just about them. And friends, there is a place of impact and influence that God has called us to as a community. There is a mission that God has given us for this city. There is a mission and a purpose. There is a gap that God is asking North Point Community Church to fill in Bossier City. But here's what I'll tell you. God has given us the mission. God has given us the promise that he's going with us. God's given us the promise that he's going to give us strength. God's given us the promise he's going to give us courage. God's given us promise that he's going to be there with us. But guess what? The promise doesn't matter if we don't all do our part. That's why when Destiny stands up here and says, we have a mission, don't we? In so many Sundays, right? She says, this isn't my mission. This isn't Phil's mission. This is our mission. Because me, Destiny, our staff, our team, we don't get to create Christ-centered culture change in community. No, that's what we have to do. So the question becomes, will you do your part so that you can live the abundant life in 2022? But the follow-up question to that is, will you do your part so that we can fulfill our purpose in this city? Will you just do your part? I'm not asking you to get up here and lead worship. I'm not asking you to get up and preach. I'm just asking you, would you consider doing your part so that we can possess the promise that God has for us in this city? In Bossier and beyond, would you be willing to do your part? And next Sunday, we're going to dive a little bit more into this. And man, we're going to have a vision Sunday. I'm going to be telling you about our word for 2022 and some things that we have coming next year. And it's going to be an awesome Sunday. But leading up to next Sunday, I want to ask you this. Will you consider this question, am I willing to do my part? Will I make every effort in 2022 that I would live the abundant life? And will I make every effort in 2022 that the mission of North Point Community Church would be fulfilled in Bossier City and beyond? Well, I just do my part, because I can tell you, if you don't do your part, walls don't fall down. If you don't do your part, you end up still on the other side of the Jordan River in the wilderness. I mean, the people could have said, we ain't doing that. No, it's too much danger. I'm not a good swimmer. I don't know. They could have stayed. I could have walked around that wall and day three or four said, man, I'm not seeing any cracks. I'm not feeling any rumblings on the ground. We're just walking around here like I ain't trying to get some exercise. I'll do some burpees or something. I'm not trying to walk around this wall anymore. After the defeat of Ai, they could have said, man, I'm not willing to go out there and fight anymore. I mean, I thought God was going to go with us. I thought we were going to, it didn't work out that way. I'm not going back out there. But we read what it looks like at the end of Joshua. They had conquered all the land. They had possessed it. They had peace on every side. And they were living in the place that God had for them. And there's no better place to be. But they had to do their part. This week, I want you to consider, will I do my part? Not will I just cheer about the abundant life, and not just will I say, wow, that would be amazing. Will you commit in 2022 to doing your part so that you can have the abundant life that God promised you? And will you do your part so that the mission and vision that God has given us in this house will be accomplished in Bossier City and beyond? We close out all of our services this year with a little lead acrostic. And in 2021, we say we want to lead ourselves well. And what does that look like? It's like learning, evaluating, applying, and then just doing it again. And what did we learn today? Our learning is that falling is not failing unless I refuse to get up and believe again. Falling is not failing unless I refuse to get up and believe again. I'm not making light of things that have happened in your life. I want you to understand, I get it, right? Don't please don't be that hybrid, like, well, I mean, I started a business. I mean, what'd you say? It just failed. No, it failed. I mean, right? I mean, I was like, I get it, okay? I understand. But the thing about it is, what I'm trying to get you to disconnect is because when we as a people hear the word fail, we hear final, we hear fatal, we hear over. So I'm trying to get your attention into a different, did your business fail? Yes, but if you see it as falling instead of failing, it'll change your future. Because if you just trip and fail, you say, I didn't actually fail. Okay, I don't know how that works. If you just tripped and fail, but you say, I didn't really fail. Why? Because I can get up and believe again. I can get up and move forward again. Our evaluation is this. Has the enemy lured you into believing that you can't possess the promises of God? Has he lured you into believing that that doesn't work for you? Because you've been divorced? Because you've made some bad choices? Because things have happened in your life? Now, the promises of God, they are not for you. Has the enemy lured you into believing that? And maybe has he even gone as far as to convince you that not only did you fail, but you are a failure? The application is this. Declare God's promises. Declare God's promises are for you, and decide to make every effort to respond to his promises. Declare his promises. They are for you. God's promises, they are for you. They belong to you. They are for you. They belong to you. And decide to make every effort to respond to those promises. And the D is always the same. Just do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Keep on getting up. Keep on believing. Keep on trying. Keep on believing, keep on trying, keep on getting up. Just keep on doing it again and again and again and again. Because it's hard to beat a person that won't give up.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.